Off the Ball Breakfast.
What's your favourite GAA chant?
Man, hen. So three syllables.
Yeah, that's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. Our Farney Army, do-do-do-do.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
The Sunday Paper Review
on Off the Ball,
brought to you by Dove Men Plus Care, proud sponsors of the British and Irish Lions. Upgrade to Dove Men Plus Care because care changes everything.
Yes, it is Sunday, the 27th of July, 2025. It's All-Ireland football final day. You're welcome along to the Sunday Paper Review. It's royalty across the board for our guests on the papers today. Royalty from the press box in the shape of the author and broadcaster and writer, Cliona Foley. Cliona, welcome,
morning,
as always.
Adrian.
And royalty in the shape of Colm O'Rourke, two times All-Ireland winner, three-time All-Star, the man who you give a long introduction to, who needs no introduction at all. Colm, you're welcome. I think your first time
on
the papers.
Very first time.
And a very unusual All-Ireland final experience for you today, I suspect, given your activity there over the last 30, 40 years.
Yes, I suppose no commentary on anything, ability to go in nice and relaxed. I'm going to sit at the match with my wife and enjoy it all, take in everything. There was always a bit of pressure when you were doing the RT Sunday game live. You know, you were trying to make sure you had all your ducks in a row. You were worried about the fact you might say something stupid, which of course we managed to do a lot. But it's a more relaxed atmosphere, something that I'm really looking forward to. And I'm looking forward to a brilliant game too, because it looks like the two very best teams have got there. And it's been such an exciting championship.
Yeah. I was going to say, are we guaranteed a belter? We're not really, are we? Like, anything could happen.
Well, we thought we were going to get that last Sunday as well. And look what happened. It turned out to be anything but. But in terms of the quality of players on view, in terms of the quality of games up to now, I'd be surprised if it's not a great game. The new rules have really liberated forwards, and we have seen David Clifford at his best, Oisin Gallen, Michael Murphy on the other side, Sean O'Shea. There's so many brilliant individuals playing that it's hard to see it not being a great game. Hopefully it doesn't rain, the ball is dry, and that we can have the perfect game and down to the last 5 minutes.
Given that history of like player, pundit, manager, and your first time in whatever number of years you said it was that you're going to be there now, a free spirit, I suppose. Do you ever see yourself been back there in a different environment again, or as a manager or a pundit? Or
you never say never, but like I think I said to you, it's about 55 years since I haven't either played or managed a team for a year, and I found this year very, very enjoyable. Like, I've been involved in club management almost all my time, or managing in school, or managing some teams since I stopped playing. So, like, not having to worry about where you are on Tuesday and Thursday and weekends, and being able to plan and off the cuff travel and do what I want. It's something that is
liberating,
quite engaging and liberating. But, you know, I could see myself getting back maybe at underage football in the club. I think that's where I'll go back to.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll see how that pans out. We've lots to talk about the game. We'll do that over the course of the next hour and a bit. The Sunday Paper Review and Off the Ball, brought to you by Dove Men Plus Care, proud partners of the British and Irish Lions. Upgrade to Dove Men Plus Care because care changes everything. As always, we'll give you a bit of a sense of what's happening across the back pages before we get into it properly. And we're going to start with the Mail on Sunday. Fever pitch, Jim V. Jack on the back page here. Donegal and Kerry peaking at the perfect time as they meet in a much anticipated final, writes Shane McGrath on the back page. Hugo Boss as Lions clinch series in the MCG thriller, it says on the rugby. It's GAA all the way for the Sunday Independent as well. A final for the ages. A renaissance season for football set to sign off with a masterpiece. The words of Dermot Crowe inside. And the Sunday Times have taken the controversial decision to go with the rugby on the front page of their sports section. Not entirely, but certainly for the main photo splash. Lion Kings, 26-29. Last gasp try by Andy Farrell's side seals epic comeback and first series win for 12 years. And of course, the battle for Sam Maguire and more of that inside. The Sunday Mirror, Clifford class. Fitzmaurice, Kerry ace in the form of his life. Certainly seems to play with that bit of a free spirit. And Hugo, the Lion King, is the other headline on the top of the Mirror. The Sun goes with David and Goliath. Clifford ready to double up. Murphy's back for a second. Picture of they're going for the Clifford v. Michael Murphy angle there. And pass, Will Hugo away out of that? It says in the top page.
They're stretching in this morning, Adrian.
And the People finally has a bit of football there. Arteta delighted 55 million Gyökeres, signs a 5-year deal to join the Gunners. Hugo Boss. And not a Gaelic football to be seen in sight. So yeah, we'll start with the, maybe the narratives around the game, like that sort of, you can see even from the sense of the papers there, it's either Clifford v Murphy or it's Jack v Jim, the two main narratives leading into it.
It's like we've talked about this before, and it's funny, Colm has written a piece about this today in the Sunday Independent about how it's players who do the job in the end, not managers. But this final, and I hate the call to the manager, but I do think this final is particularly fascinating because two of the smartest brains, and maybe Sean Boylan would be another one, that have ever managed Gaelic football, and particularly this developmental changing time of it, are up against one another today. So that is fascinating. For first, you have Jim and Jack, and they're pictured fever pitch right on the back of the Mail on Sunday, and understandably so, I think, in this one. But Shane McGrath, the first piece you come into the Mail on Sunday is Shane McGrath on, as that is a great headline as well, David and Goliath, and he has a brilliant, he says, Clifford at 26 in his prime, Murphy is almost a decade older, his brilliance in big games has to this point been episodic, like in the Thunder's closing minutes against Mayo, our first half a burst against Meath. Clifford's menace is constant, like a sheer drop, terrifying defenders who know that one misstep could swallow them and their dreams whole. It's a great summary, really.
Yeah.
And it's a lovely piece as well. And there's lots of pieces reflecting all week on these two individuals and what a colossus they are in the game.
And it's kind of impossible to know what the hell is going to happen in relation to all of that once the ball is thrown in.
Yeah, it's difficult. But like, I would say that Jack O'Connor is very happy with the sort of coverage. And even in today's paper with numerous writers, most of the coverage is on Jim McGuinness. I mean, Jim McGuinness is the messiah. Joe Brawley, of course, would have been saying that constantly in his pieces. And I'd say it suits Jack O'Connor very well to come in under the radar. And in some ways, I think Jack O'Connor has won 5 All-Irelands as manager of Kerry.
Yeah, he's his eighth final.
Yeah, and Jim McGuinness has won 1. So, like, you would think that most of the emphasis should have been on Jack O'Connor and how he has been able to bring a succession of different Kerry teams to it. But I suppose Jim McGuinness's background and the fact that Donegal haven't been in too many All-Ireland finals means that there's a greater spotlight on him. But, you know, I've always been writing about Donegal for the last 10 years. I always thought they were very much underachievers because they had brilliant players. And it's taken McGuinness again to come and sort of solidify them and give them a purpose. And he's brought in some brilliant new players like Finbar Rorty and Kieran Moore and fellas like that. They are the young guns. And of course, bringing back Murphy has been a masterstroke. So whether he is good, bad or indifferent, he was dead right to come back and see could he make a difference. And of course, he hasn't made a big difference. I think the concern for me would be is that as the championship has gone on, he started off coming on as subs in the early games and they have become more and more and more reliant on him as time has gone by. Mm. And that's not a good thing. But now Oisin Gallan inside is a great scorer and the O'Donnells, they have great players. But without Murphy playing well, it's hard to see Donegal winning.
And the same on the other side with your man, do you think? Is it too easy to say that?
I'm going to All-Irelands now. The first All-Ireland final I was at was in 1967 when Meade won. So I probably couldn't make a great judgment on players be up until the 70s. But like say from the Kerry team on, I certainly have never seen as good as David Clifford.
Really?
To me, he's the best player I have ever seen. And he produces the goods for club and county, winter, summer, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Like, you know, when would you say he's had a really bad game? I know 2 years ago in the final against Dublin, and Mick Fitzsimons was on him. And Mick Fitzsimons got a lot of credit and he did well. And what a brilliant man Mick Fitzsimons was for Dublin. But like David Clifford could have had a goal in 6 or 7 points. He narrowly missed on several occasions. So I think he's a sort of an unstoppable force. And this year also, he seems to me to be in better form than ever before. He seems fitter, stronger, hungrier, more energetic. The new rules have liberated him.
The rules definitely have liberated him. Because you can't be fouling him anymore as well. Do you know what I mean? The game has changed. And the refereeing even has changed, I think, with the new rules as well. So that makes a huge difference. And I think what's undervalued as well, Colin, with him is his ability to play other players into positions as well. Like, he's a brilliant vision. His head is always up. So if his shot isn't on, and it nearly always is because he's such a remarkable double-footed player and can hit from such distance, but he also has the ability to bring other players. And I thought last, that when he got such criticism that last for that last final, I remember thinking, but you know, he made scores for other people. Mm. But because he's so brilliant, everybody expects him to convert. Yeah. And maybe today is the day we won't see him converting as much. But Paddy, who's back fitter, obviously, clearly. And then they have a load of other people who are coming into games like Joe O'Connor and that. It's going to be fascinating. I've never heard as many actual pundits, people who know the game well and are, you know, judging it every week, saying we think this could be a draw. I've never heard as many.
And there's a very split. You know, I didn't nearly know who to go for. I went for Kerry on the basis of the Kerry win most finals they get to. Not much more than that. And they have the experience. They've been around for the last 3 or 4 years, whereas Donegal are quite new, even though they could have easily been in the final last year as well.
Yeah, I was in the University Hospital in Galway yesterday, and there was a conversation took up around one of the beds where there was an old lad in the bed, and he'd said to the nurse, what's going to happen now with this game tomorrow? You know, in the spirit that everybody everywhere is talking about it. Yeah. And the nurse, being the very polite, caring person that she is, said, well, listen, it's very tight, you know, hard to call it either way. We know that, said your man. Tell me who's going to
win
it. And that, I thought, was very much the essence of where the conversation is at around it. Just that piece about David Clifford that you mentioned a couple of minutes ago. Our own Shane was down around deepest, darkest Kerry, I was going to say, but maybe deepest, brightest Kerry at the minute. Some sensational pieces down around there, but he got talking to Mick O'Connell. I think wouldn't speak to him, but one of his friends did. And I was just struck by the conversation where he said David Clifford, he was very careful with his language. Mick was the greatest midfielder of all time. David Clifford was the greatest forward of all time. But that, you know, a player at the age of 26, it's such an unusual conversation to be having, even at this stage of his career, about him just being the greatest footballer that we've ever seen.
Yes, and it's also unusual that playing, what is it, 7 or 8 years for Kerry now, he has only one All-Ireland medal. Mm. So most Kerry fellas to be talked about in sort of such lofty words would have 3, 4, 5, 6 All-Irelands. So he is different, and that maybe is a huge burning incentive for him as well. Like, I suppose you're lucky in Kerry. If you grow up and you're a good footballer in Kerry and you get on the county team, you can look forward over a decade. You're probably going to play in 5 or 6 All-Ireland finals. You're probably going to win 3 or 4 and you might even be just an ordinary player. That's just the value of tradition and the passion that they have for it. So Clifford is just a different class of player. Like, you know, you compare him to Murphy. David Clifford doesn't have bad games. Not that I can remember, anyway. You know, all of us that played in All-Ireland finals, we had games and Leinster finals and things like that that I look back on. Played in quite a few, played in 10 Leinster finals. But somebody said to me, how many did you play well in? I'd say maybe 3 or 4. You know, and whereas Clifford would say, if he played in 10 finals, probably he could say, I played well in 8 or 9.
Yeah, and even that one that you mentioned earlier, he had a lot going on in his personal life around that time.
Yeah, yes. Yeah,
maybe all that fed into it a little bit. But
It's funny, I don't know whether you feel the same way, but I think when you see players of their quality, you remember the first time you've seen them. And I remember with Clifford, it was the 2017 minor final. He scored 4-4 or something in it.
He looked like a man amongst boys.
And he was so much bigger than them as well. And they were falling away from him.
Yeah,
and he still has that incredible physical strength as well, apart from being a brilliant footballer, which makes those. That was the first time I remember thinking, oh my God, this guy's going to be amazing. And the same, it's funny, Michael Murphy. I always remember seeing Michael Murphy when he was younger, and I distinctly remember they played Dublin in an under-21 final. It was up in Breffni. Do you remember? It was in Cavan. And he missed a penalty to win
bar.
It. He hit the bar.
Wow. Yeah.
And I always remember thinking afterwards to that, that could have destroyed many a player's career. And you know what I mean? But this guy, his personality is such, and I think Clifford is similar as well, is they're very self-contained kind of people, you know?
Yeah.
And they can survive when they do have a bad game and they just keep going and rolling with it. And he's very laid back, Murphy. And I think that's part of his talent. And Clifford as well. That's a big part of his temperament.
You can imagine, Tina, if you're a cornerback, you know, the traditional view was put a corner back out and he'll batter the small corner forward, and then you come out to play on Clifford and he's bigger, stronger, faster, fitter, more skillful than you. So what do you do?
And then Murphy, who is in the, as I said, come back from 2 years. It's extraordinary how good he's playing, but he's a very different kind of player now.
Yes.
And
I mean,
where they
he
put
looks
him
fitter.
Today, he looks incredibly fit. But also there's that thing of physical people used to always say that with Murphy, trying to mark him because he was such a big unit. You were struggling right from the start as well. But where they play Murphy today, I think it's going to be very interesting as well, and where he may move during the game as well.
On Clifford, Joe, on the opposite side of the page to you in the Sunday Independent come today, not only is he, a Joe Brawley article must always start off with the several texts he got from and how these people must remain unnamed.
It took him a long time to make all of those up.
By his own admission, by all accounts. Mm-hmm. But he says here about Clifford, when opposition defenders collapse onto him, he sends a teammate in for an early score with his dazzling armoury of lobs, flicks, overhead kick passes, no-look hand passes. And when he sees an opportunity to score for a teammate, he'll make a dummy run, dragging defenders away to create space. Like, that's part of the essence of the David Clifford.
He has a great line. He says the defensive system, this is talking about, works against everybody because Jimmy's systems operate on the fundamental basis that no one can defy the law of physics except David Clifford, yeah. You know, which is a good line.
In your piece, Colm, so you talk about, how do you stop David Clifford, right? Brendan McColl. You talk about maybe the extra man in the Donegal defence, possibly in both defences. You talk about getting Gallen into space high up the pitch, the kickouts, and on we go, right? So you've gone into the details of how this game could be won and lost. But then also, early in the piece, you mentioned Alex Ferguson, and this stuff doesn't really mean... It means a little bit, but it doesn't mean a lot, and it'll be down... Players win matches, I think, was your line.
Yeah, well, I'd say that there wouldn't have been much tactical analysis by either manager coming up to the game because they got so used to playing together and everybody is used to the pattern of play. And it's basically then, you know, maybe Donegal will say to Ryan McHugh or Pather Mogan or somebody, you know, hang back, especially early on in the game. Don't be too adventurous because Kerry have the ability to foot pass better than most teams. So if they get the ball in defence, their first option is to look for a foot pass to somebody who will hang out on the right side of midfield or the left side out near the touchline, kick and a kick in then to Clifford. And they have the option also of kicking it in high into him because he's so good in the air. So that is the big danger. And I'd say that's the thing that would have taken Jim McGuinness's. And now the other interest during the week, the other big thing is how Kerry going to cope with all these fellas coming running at 100 miles an hour.
And able to score.
Meade were just completely overrun in the second half. Like they swarmed like bees forward. And they do so at pace. And I was just having a laugh last week in the paper saying with the flight of the Earls from Donegal where the O'Donnells went, it was just as well for Donegal football team that at least a few of them stayed behind because Conor O'Donnell and Shane O'Donnell have been brilliant this year. And they're, you know, a lot of players, it's very hard to get a player to run directly at an opponent because most people take the safe route. They run across the pitch on the hand pass. Donegal go and attack the man. And they try and get by the first man. And if they get by the first man, then the whole thing opens up for them because obviously there are fewer defenders than there was last year. So Jim McGuinness, I think, has changed his tactics this year. Not for this game, I'd say. Just for the whole year by saying to fellas, take on your man and attack him. Mm-hmm. And the O'Donnells have been good at that. Moore, Rorty, Mogan, Ryan McHugh.
Some of
they
the
all
defenders.
Take on their man.
They can all do it.
And once the first man is beaten, then the whole thing opens up for them.
Jim has that ability, the, you know, Alex Ferguson type sort of comparison where no matter what you say, in hindsight, this was a bit of genius. And so he's been out saying David Clifford, possibly the greatest of all time. And everybody's reading
classic,
into it as this great sort of, you know, mind games.
Yeah, well, I think the piece you quoted of me saying about Alex Ferguson, I think somebody said to him, that, I think they were 3-0 down against Spurs one day. And Alex Ferguson went into the dressing room and more or less says, lads, what's going on? This is Spurs we're playing. wasn't a compliment to Spurs. Yeah. And then after the match, they had won 5-3 and somebody was saying about the tactical genius of Alex Ferguson, you know, how he changed things or whatever. And basically, Ferguson's message was, I told him to go out and bloody well start playing.
And
he said, like, tactics don't win games, and when you look men do. And I think he also said that another time, great men win big games.
Yeah.
And I think that will apply today as well.
And that's and we saw with the hurling final last week as well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Liam Cahill, obviously, at half-time, told the lads, look, we're well in this, but it was the players who went out and produced incredible hurling as well. Do you know what I mean? And we come back to the old thing about All-Ireland finals, and Colin will probably remember these things as well as a player, but you know, that notion that somebody's going to spring, you could have a springer here who's going to do it. Like Willie Connors had the game of his life last week for Tipperary. Who could that be today? You know, I thought bringing people like Dara Wheel back, I thought was a really smart move. And I think he's the kind of player who could come off the bench. And we know McVeary's there. But who else could it be today? We just, you know, it's an unknown, which is what makes it so fantastic. But I do think, like Colm said, the game has changed. And there are lovely pieces today, like Dermot Crowe's front page in the Indo is like Renaissance season. And he says it's set for football to sign off at the masterclass. You know, and he talks about, and even Eamon Sweeney and a couple of other people, they say, like, it isn't just these two teams that have changed the season. Yes. There have been so many highlights, so many teams, Louth coming through. There have been lots of Meath having their moment in the sun. It's been, everything kind of opened up because of the new rules this year, of which Michael Murphy was part, of course, which is hilarious. Everybody laughs at that and says he made the rules for himself. But like, it has been a brilliant season, and it is, it looks to be made up for a great final. But could we go again?
There'll be people listening to this podcast at around 5:30 or 6 this evening going, what are those Aegis talking about?
Exactly, for sure. I'll be completely wrong.
I'm used to
yet
that.
Again. Shane McGrath has a lovely piece, though, I think, in the Mail on Sunday as well. It's a bit like Dermot's, but it's just very lyrical. It's just a beautiful piece about what the GA means to people. Do you know what I mean? That you're saying, like, in the hospital, the nurses getting asked, you know, and we'll talk about it later in relation to the Lions and Australian rugby and its place down there. But like, you know, that's exactly what you're saying. Football has been renewed, but it will change again. And we will change again. And he said the urge to keep pushing on was well put by the late Kerryman and Brendan Kennelly, the poet. And he said, who wrote of in the lovely poem Begin, of something that will not acknowledge conclusion, insisting that we forever begin. And he was saying, like, it's all changed this year, but in 2 years' time, it could have changed again. And that's the fascinating. But it's our game. It's our people who changed it. Do you know what I mean? It was a collaborative thing to change the rules. Some people would say it didn't happen quick enough, but it happened, and football has been renewed. And he said, for today, it's Kerry and Donegal, but it isn't a private tussle. He says, this is for all of us, because the All-Ireland Day is ours. It's us.
And mirrors basically what Eamon Sweeney was also saying about all the different counties, which you mentioned, Louth and Meath and Monaghan, and all the different counties have contributed so much to the season. But I think we owe great debt to Jim Gavin and his group of people who have done the state some service with the change of rules. I remember speaking to Jim Gavin when he was bringing this in, and we were having dinner one evening, and I was saying to Jim, you know, these ideas you have, they're absolutely stupid. You know, the idea that you were going to get three fellas to stay up the field. And Jim was taking out napkins and he was drawing, this could happen here and this could happen. And the girl that was serving the dinner came over, and Jim had a hole in front of him full of napkins with drawings on them. And she was looking at him going, what's going on here, you know, with this fella? But he had gone into such depth and deep thinker of the game. That was the one thing I think that has proven to be, apart from the long kick out, which is fantastic, but keeping three up, I said, that won't happen. I said to Jim, imagine a referee in an old club match, or even to a referee game, no umpire, no linesman, and he's supposed to referee the game and keep his eyes in the back of his head to see is there three up. In fact, it's working better at club level nearly than anywhere.
Is
because,
it is. Like, I've been at a lot of club matches.
Yeah.
Forwards are delighted because they don't have to chase back.
Yeah.
It's working very, very well.
They're compliant.
Absolutely. Like, and it's made it easier to referee because there's less of these sort of rucks that take place with people bringing the ball into contact. Mm. So there's less freeze, more free flowing, more scores, more action, and the best players are getting a chance to shine. So, Jim Gavin, thanks very much.
I'm going to ask you the impossible question, but like, in terms of that, the Renaissance piece and it being the first year and there having been a couple of tweaks and maybe there are more tweaks to come, where do you think we're at in the overall trajectory? Will the game get even better again? Are we seeing the high point currently, or what's your expectation?
Well, I always thought that what you need is, like in basketball or rugby, an ongoing rules review committee who could make changes year on year on year. To me, the one thing I would like to see brought in is, once you go by midfield, it's like the basketball, you can't play the ball back.
Yeah,
and that would force players to probably kick the ball more. We still have far too much hand passing, and the only way we're going to get rid of that is maybe put a limit on it, or maybe bring in a series of other changes. And I think Jim Gavin was very keen, thought that this would bring in more kicking, hasn't brought in as much as he would like. The ratio is still 3 or 4 to 1. So, like, if you must play the ball forward, like if a fella gets into trouble, it also would encourage the backs that they could push out more, knowing that the players can't go back. I would like to see that trial at least. And I'd also like get rid of that small arc. I don't see what it has no relevance today, and confusing at times for players shooting. Like it's
just get rid of the line.
Get rid of the line because there to stop encroaching on a penalty taker. So like just say to everybody, well, you have to stay outside the big arc.